So, spiritual formation. It's a series we've been going through since the beginning of the year, and it's our final Sunday. Start with it. I know. It's been good, hasn't it? Have you enjoyed the series?
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard lots of positive things, so this is good, and we'll see in a few minutes. There'll be opportunities for sharing testimonies, stories. So we'll see how all of you have been impacted by this series, or some of you at least. But yeah, this series really has been about exploring practices. We've chosen 10. So 10 practices which can help us in our becoming like Jesus. That's the goal, to become like Jesus. And we talked about the goal is not to master each of these practices, but it's to go on a journey with the practices in becoming more like Jesus. So, and very much this series was part of our vision. It's right to our vision, and particularly around seeing lives transformed and by the power of Jesus. And we trust that as we've gone through this series, that actually we are seeing, as we've been formed by these practices, that we are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And that's hopefully something that we've been doing both as individuals, but actually corporately as we've done them together. And hopefully, as time goes on, those things will impact not just our individual lives, but our life together as a community, but also in our lives together with our neighbours and the wider community. Okay, the spiritual practices we've explored. We've looked at solitude, generosity, forgiveness, witness, scripture, Sabbath, diversity, community, fasting, and prayer. So those are the 10 that we've been looking at over this last term. We also had Martin Doyle. He came up and spoke to us about our identity and connecting that in with spiritual formation. And we also had Phil Haynes. He was with us. Was it last week? Last week. And he was doing something on emotionally healthy spirituality. And I thought that was an excellent message, wasn't it? So if you haven't listened to those, then please do catch up with them. So, testimonies. So we're going to spend the next little while just hearing, I've got 4 people that have lined up to share. But if anyone else just wants to share something of your experiences with one or more of the practices, how you found them, what you found helpful, how God met you in them, then it'd be lovely to hear from those. And I also just want to say, not just after the success stories, if you've had a go, but maybe you find it difficult, maybe there's things that haven't worked, or I don't know, but we just love to hear that. I think there's got to be room for failure. Don't just need to hear the success stories, actually, because for me, even trying is a success. And actually, maybe if you've not, if you've found something difficult or not quite got where you wanted to be, actually, maybe there's something for you and us to learn together in that as well. So I just want to say, if you're sitting here going, well, I tried this, but this happened, that happened, it didn't really work, I don't think I should really share that, I probably want to go, yeah, come share that with us. We want to hear. So there we go. So what I'll do is, I've got a few people lined up, as I said. We'll start with them, and or a couple of them at least, and then it gives some of us opportunity to have a think about whether we might have something to share. Andy Neil, do you want to come up and start with us? Be great. Thank you.
Debbie, we have the list back again. Or Dan. Nope, too far. I was thinking, probably most of us who've been Christians for a while, none of these things are actually anything new. So this has been very much a reminder of familiar things that I know that, you know, really should be part of the Christian life. I mean, diversity was one, if you'd asked me that, I'd say, yeah, that's true, because God wants a people from every nation, tribe, tongue. But actually, that is applying to me I hadn't really thought about. You know, when you think about that verse, every nation, tribe, people and tongue, you think, oh, that's about missionaries who go overseas to other nations and other people in other tongues. It's actually something that applies to me, thinking, not just relating to the people who are like me or that I like. And the one about Bible reading, obviously, Bible reading is important. That made me laugh. Greg said, oh, don't do Bible in a year. And here we are. We're all very grateful to Rob for organising it. There's about 30 on the WhatsApp. And what's up? What's app? It's easy for you to say. And, you know, I've done that Bible in a year. Well, not that particular Bible in a year before. But it's been great doing that kind of as a group. You know, even if we're not actually gathering, but having that little community on the app and people chipping in and people saying, I don't understand this verse. Because we've been doing, it is the Old Testament start to end and the New Testament start to end. So going through some of those bits at the beginning of the Old Testament, Leviticus and that, they are very strange. And it has been helpful to have those people saying, I don't understand this, and other people saying, well, I look at it this way. And in the New Testament, so we're in the Gospels at the moment, so we're going through the four Gospels, hearing what Jesus said from four different angles. And one of the things that struck me from that is that it's not about rules. So like when Greg says, don't do Bible in a year, it's not about, that's not a rule. That's, don't, if it doesn't work for you, don't do it. So that's one that struck me about Sabbath. Because it's easy with Sabbath to get into rules. The things that you don't do on a Sunday. Don't go to work, don't do this, don't do that. And Jesus, we've been seeing in the Gospels, he really picked the Pharisees up on that. They had loads of rules about what you don't do on the Sabbath. But they'd missed the other side. It's a day of rest, but it doesn't end there. It's holy to the Lord. A day for focusing on God and what he's doing. Not just about what we don't do, but about what we do do. And I think I've been quite good at the things not to do. So yeah, for a long time, I've made a point of not doing work on a Sunday. But what to do? How to do that holy to the Lord bit on a Sunday? To me, the meeting on Sunday afternoons has been helpful to that, because I've found that it does give time before the meeting to think about, you know, what are we going to do, what are we gathering for, even to write this lot up. So I don't think that's not all. I've got to work some more on that. What is it to make it a day holy to the Lord? So not just a day that I don't work on, but a day that I keep holy to the Lord.
Great. Thank you, Andy. Brilliant. Just how much is, how many of us here are doing the Bible in a Year app? Well, look, it's not a small group, is it? It's great, isn't it? It's fun doing that. Great. Good. Anne, did you want to come and share? Great.
A bit trepidatious about coming because I don't have anything amazing to say, other than I've really been impacted by all of them. And I think the big thing, which was sort of summed up in the last session with Phil, was about the rhythm of life because that's something which I can just get very busy with things. And that really spoke to me and challenged me quite a lot. And it tied in also, I felt, with a lot of the other themes as well. Sabbath, particularly. And again, that had challenged me greatly because I was like, how am I going to find time to do Sabbath properly? But actually, it's not about that, is it? It's about just doing what's possible, what you can. And I realised that even just going out for whatever, 45 minutes walk, an hour, whatever I could do, even 15 minutes, is something that I can fit in fairly easily. But it's just doing it. It's being intentional about it. And I would say that having just started to do this a bit more, be aware of it in the first place, I guess, and then when I think about it, how I can do this, God's really blessed me. I mean, I didn't go out sort of intentionally wanting something from God. That was the other thing, because I might have done that before. I just went, and I walked, and I walked in nature, and I just felt an amazing sense of peace. And it was like when Jesus talked about the living water, it was like that. And it was so restorative, and it was fantastic. I think I could probably also talk about prayer as well, in that I encounter quite a few difficult, complex situations at work that can be quite challenging at times. Our residents that I'm privileged enough to go into care homes for and be involved in their lives are often having really difficult times. They get referred to us when things are quite challenging. And there are so many opportunities that I've probably missed that I could have just prayed about first. But I've gone in to do my job. But again, with that in mind, I prayed about a particular situation, a lady that we were going to see, who psychiatric care medication has failed her. She's quite young, really. She has a devoted husband who is her advocate, but he's battled to get the very little care that she has got at the moment. And he was really angry, and he'd actually come across a member of our team lead, and it'd been a really difficult conversation, and he'd been incredibly angry, and the conversation hadn't gone well. And my colleague and I were sort of going in to try and offer a bit more of a behavioural approach. And I prayed about several points, really, and I won't go into all the details, but I prayed about a few things about this meeting. And every single one of those things happened. It was, God's presence was so there. It was a really encouraging time, and came away feeling, yeah, thank you, God, because I know you've given me some skills here to be able to help, but without you in that situation, I was lost. So he was just guiding and very present, and it was wonderful. So I think I'm so encouraged to keep going with these practices, because it is life changing. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really powerful. Thank you, Anne. And Anne just finished there. I guess this is a start, isn't it? It's not like we've done the series. Right, done the practices, done, tick. Actually, it's a journey, isn't it? And it's something we never stop with these things. So, fantastic. All right, Matthew, would you like to come up now? Great. Excellent.
Hello. I think that the spiritual formations of which I'm going to share maybe come under being emotionally healthy, which I believe was the topic we discussed last week, or that was spoken about, and forgiveness, but forgiveness of myself. I find it far easier to forgive other people than I do to forgive myself for things. So I hope that what I'm going to say will encourage you all. For most of my adult life, and possibly some of my childhood, I have been crippled with the fear that if I do something wrong, make a mistake or sin, that people will think badly of me. And even turn against me. It has caused me extreme forms of anxiety over the years and wasted a lot of energy, resulting in physical and mental tiredness and a lot of emotional upset. A few months ago, not long after we started the Spiritual Formations course, I was at work on one of my early shifts and I suddenly had the sensation and realized that it was completely ridiculous that I had these feelings about how other people might think of me, and vowed to myself that I was going to stop it, as it was pointless and completely negative with no basis for truth. I felt like a big weight had been lifted off of me. It had taken me nearly 53 years to work this out, but it's better late than never. Yeah. I shared this with someone, at one of my friends at work, and she thought it was great that I had come to believe this too. I didn't realise at that time, or wasn't consciously aware, that it was God working in me. It was a few days later, during church, when something was said during that week's talk that prompted me that it was God working in me. And since then, I've realised that the Holy Spirit and common sense work hand in hand. Yeah. And I know that I personally wouldn't turn against someone or think bad of them for their mistakes. So, a bit like a mirror image, why should they think badly of me in the same circumstances? Now, this is still a work in progress, and I do have to remind myself sometimes about this, but I believe that God and the Holy Spirit are working with me through this.
Thank you. Thank you. Well done. Yeah. Thank you, Matthew. Just brilliant. Really encouraging to all of us, so thank you for that. Let's just see, any other? I know, Chris, you've got one. We'll can I keep you waiting for a minute? Is that all right? Yeah. Has anyone else got any testimonies they'd like to come and share? Dave's got one. I saw a hand there. Do you want to come up, Dave? And then Nancy, you sound like you've got something in a minute. Yeah, great.
Right, this is unscripted and somewhat impromptu, but do you remember the session that Dave from the Baptist Church gave on forgiveness? I was raised in an abusive environment. I found it so hard to forgive my dad. Brutal. And that unforgiveness carried forward until late 80s, and I've been a Christian since 1969. I became aware it was upsetting my relationship with God, because he says forgive others, you know, doesn't he? And in the end, I realised that to forgive doesn't necessarily mean reconciliation. It's not just, you know, the person, you know, doesn't even need to know. What it does is good for me. It sets me free from the anger. And I did. All sorts of circumstances around that. He never knew, but I just made it, Lord, you know my heart on this. I'm just going to forgive him anyway. And I did that on the way home from work. And when I got home, my wonderful, dear departed wife took one look at me and said, there's something different about you. And I just said, well, I forgave my dad. And she'd known, you know, a lot of this. she just immediately rushed up and hugged me for 15 minutes and we just cried together. A very powerful moment. I can't emphasize how important forgiveness is. And then, of course, going forward, and most of you know I lost my wife over 2 years ago now, but I was so angry with God. And I've had to seek forgiveness for feeling that way. So not just forgiveness for others, but forgiving ourselves. And Matthew, you know, very much in line with yourself. The other stuff that spoke to me was community. A lot of you know how I feel about that Greek word, koinonia. You know, the fellowship and the real meaning of it all. We're getting there. Okay. And prayer. I gave a word a little while ago about when I left Australia last time, within 24 hours. Not my fault, but my lad lost his job. Was a real surprise. And I was talking with him and I said, well, I'm going to pray about this. What points do you want me to pray for? And we went through a list. I said, are you job hunting? No, he said, I'm well known in the industry. They'll know what's happened. I'm going to sit at home tomorrow, have a bit of R&R and wait for them to contact me. I thought, well, there's a bit of faith for a start. He's sympathetic. He was baptized as a youngster of his own accord. Very sympathetic. And he's coming back. So the prayers are working. Keep praying for him. And, you know, the next day when I contacted him, yeah, I had 5 telephone calls, 3 video calls, 2 interviews, and I'm starting a job on Monday. So, and I said, so what have you got? He said, well, you know all those points? Got the lot. And I said, that was everything we prayed about, or I prayed about. And I won't tell you what he said, but certainly you prayed out of that, didn't you? So prayer can be a witness to people as well. Very significant to be specific about some stuff, because then you know that God's answered it. Yeah? And that was an amazing testimony to him. He's still talking about it. Okay? But yeah, so forgiveness, community, and prayer. Okay?
This one. Thank you, Dave. Thanks.
Hello. Sorry, I had to write it down, otherwise I get in a muddle. First of all, I'd like to say that I think each one of those topics has made me really think. And I've been a Christian a long time. We won't go into how long. Right, I'm a words person. I love words, I love stories, I love plays, I love the radio. I've always got at least one, preferably 2 books on the go. That's me. So when I found myself alone after nearly 50 years of living with somebody else, there was a big empty space. And my fallback, because it was where I was safe, was to fill it up with having the radio on, and I'm not talking about music, I'm talking about Radio 4 and plays and things like that, sorry everybody. Having the television on quite a lot more than I used to. Filling up the empty space, stopping me thinking. Now that wasn't necessarily wrong, but I am learning that silence and peace and quiet have their place. So I guess this is sort of solitude, sort of Sabbath, sort of something to do with some of the things the guy last week said. I've begun to leave room so that my mind isn't only longer filled with the noise and it's open to God. Interestingly, I learnt from something my son wrote when he did the month's blog after Phil did the solitude thing. He said it wasn't necessarily spending time with God expecting a word or answer to anything or God to come along and make a world-changing statement to you. It was just being with God. So sometimes I'm painting the fence in the garden at the moment and I'm doing it and I'm thinking about, well, God's with me. He's next to me. He's there. So it's not big things. It's just being with God sometimes. I don't automatically turn on the radio every time I go in the kitchen. Sometimes I give myself a chance just to stop. I think I spoke about that when we had a brief thing about, you know, I was saying I was learning about Sabbath, and now God had sort of almost shouted in my ear, stop! So I stopped. Asking Jesus what he actually... Oh, this is coming from last week. Asking Jesus what he actually wants me to do today, as opposed to getting up with my agenda, which I've always got, because there's always lots to do, but actually just checking in. Is this okay? Is there something else I should be doing? There was a phrase in the Bible in a Year this morning. It's from Hannah's prayer when she'd given Samuel back to the temple. And she says, the Lord is a God who knows. And I just think that's lovely, because he knows what I need. And if I'm not listening, you know, he can't really tell me, can he? Like everybody else who's got up and spoken this afternoon, I'm work in progress, you know, learning all the time, and about other things as well. But those are the things that particularly impacted on me. And if it's all right, can I just read something? Thank you. I'm a fan of some of the Celtic Christian things. And this is a Celtic prayer. And it absolutely sums up where I'm at with this. Quieten me, O Lord. Ease me from the intense busyness that assails me. Quieten me, O Lord. Draw me away from the incessant noise. Still me, O God. Help me to yield up the need to chatter. Still me, O God. Let me be immersed in your deep stillness. Then, Lord, when my heart, my soul, my mind, and my spirit are at rest, open me to hear your calm voice. And, Lord, in that deep stillness of eternity, bestow on me your heavenly balm.
Wonderful. Thank you, Chris.
So, like everyone else, I've loved this series. And there's not any of them that haven't led to at least tweaks, shall we say, in daily practice. But there's been a couple of them that have had a bigger effect. I was privileged to do the diary for solitude, and I'm not going to rehash that. But actually doing that for a month laid down a pattern that was then much easier to keep going. And that's been really precious to me, because life has not been very easy for the Bentleys recently. It's been actually darn hard. However, putting into practice that time of solitude, of just being with God in the quiet, because there are things going on that I cannot unpick. And I think I'm good at unpicking things, but I can't touch this stuff. And so just being still with the Lord and allowing him to just say whatever he wants to say has been really precious, and continues to be. Sabbath has sort of blended into that. It's been really funny, because actually Sabbath has become important to the Bentleys because of Nick. He's not here to defend himself. My husband works ridiculously hard. I have never known someone who works like he works. I don't just mean work, but he doesn't stop. He is the dynamo bunny, you know. But actually trying to introduce a rhythm of Sabbath into our household so that it becomes a natural thing for him to do as well. I'm very good at stopping. Has been quite... We're working on it. For us, it includes things like going away for weekends, because that gets him away from his computer, so he stops actually doing work, and going for walks and spending time praying and being with God. So that's been good. Fasting was the other one. Now, I wouldn't have shared this apart from what Dan said. Before we went on holiday, I was doing really well at fasting every week. And now I realised I've not fasted once since we've come back. So back to the drawing board on that one.
Well done for trying then, Nancy. Good stuff. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, of course you can.
I wish we could spend more time doing that, because it's every time it's just something new come up or old, but we need to practice again. Forgiveness. I used to have dreams with my dad dying without having an encounter with the Lord and things, and it was quite disturbing, because when when you wake up and then you cry, because you were crying in a dream, it was quite desperate, and then I was crying. And then it was more frequently I had I call nightmares, because not just dreams, and I didn't know what was, and then I prayed, and I know when I became a Christian, I said, okay, Lord, I forgive my dad, but was things, layers I had about unforgiveness that God just spoke to me. Actually, I didn't hear all the talk because I was there, but just the guy carrying, his name I forgot, sorry, carrying the donkey, Joe, was just make me think, my goodness, when you don't forgive, you carry that, the heavy, and then you just, when something is heavy, you just walk like that, and then you cannot look up, and then I thought I was quite free, you know, God just, I was free in God, but there was something there, and then God spoke to me, was about the words I said, because I used to blame, it is to blame, but not. It's not my place to judge him, saying, oh, you had this life, you don't have food, you don't have that, because my dad was a man acting as a child or teenager, you know, had a family, but just chose to drink, to go out and to gambling and things like that, and then we're left behind with no food and really hard life, and even people looking at, oh, there'll be anything good from that family. You know, it's a kind of, and I said, I really blamed him. I said, it's not fair, and I will never forgive. You know, my words towards my dad was hard, not for him to see it, to listen to or to hear, but yeah, so I had to say, God, I please forgive me that, because when you forgive, most of the time you need to repent as well, because sometimes you will just play against it. And then that was really good, and I just feel freer now, more than before. And then another thing is about generosity. Of course, no one will say here, oh, I've been practicing generosity, I've been giving money to people, or think that, or not that. But guys, you know, Ben lost his job. And it's one thing we decide as a couple, we're going to work hard, I'm going to do more hours in my work, I'll be able to visit my mum and my dad. And I said, Ben, I don't know if we're going to do that. And then he said, Marianne, you're going to do it. You're going to go to visit your family. Even if you use our savings, don't worry, you're going. But, you know, I just keep, like, thinking, I don't know, God. But I prayed. And just me and God. And then one evening, someone came and gave me an envelope saying specifically for the next for Ben and Miriam to their next trip to Brazil. I nearly cried. I cannot say thank you for the person, like, personally, because I don't know who was it. And I just said, God, my goodness. When I opened the envelope, I said, oh, my goodness, we'll help a lot. It's just so kindness, you know, because we normally don't say we need that. We pray for others, we help others, but we don't want to say. But anyway, it's just amazing how God provide, how God hear our prayer, our cry in our secret place, in our desperation, or even no word. That is amazing. Thank you.
I won't say a lot, but just feel prompted to say this one because it's come up a few times. In one sense, I could not say it, but I think that when Dave Bishop was here and spoke about forgiveness, I guess I just wonder if God's trying to highlight that. It seems to come up from 3, 4, 5 different people this afternoon. And that was one in which I encountered God. I think for me, you know, the issue of forgiveness is an ongoing issue, isn't it? It's like when you have something happen to you, there are times when, yes, maybe it's a moment in time that you forgive and let it go, but there's also a keeping your heart soft towards another. And I think for me, that's with some situations I've been in, the desire before God to keep my heart soft was very much in my mind. And knowing Dave was speaking on that issue, I came into it not particularly feeling hard-hearted, but just, well, God, if you've got something else to say to me about this to keep my heart soft, then please do. That night, I went to bed, as you do, and I had a dream. And in this dream was one of these people with whom I've had some challenge. Let's put it like that. And it was a very friendly dream. And it was a positive dream. And the next day I was sharing with my son, who was it, Chris said, it's amazing when your kids come up with wisdom, isn't it? I was sharing this story with my son and saying, it was a really positive, the dream wasn't negative, it was positive. And so he said to me, well, I think maybe God's done in your dream what he needed to do, hasn't he? Oh, yeah, thanks, Steve. But just that ongoing sense of keeping your heart soft, and God just helped me again to keep my heart in a place of softness towards someone with whom I've had some challenge. So I just wonder whether God's wanting to highlight that for some of us today as well.
Amazing. This is wonderful. It's encouraging. Hearing all these stories and testimonies of how God is speaking to us and working in us. Got time for another one or two? I don't mind waiting. While we're thinking, just want to share a little bit through my own experience. So, which probably a bit of on the overarching theme, really, of spiritual formation, but also on community. So, this last term, being part of a small group, who we've been looking, we're still in the process of going through the course. We're doing the Practicing the Way course. And the course is Introduction to Spiritual Formation. And so it talks about a little bit about what is spiritual formation, how are we formed, by whom or by what are we formed, and explore some of those things, as well as getting into some of the practices. And even though it's a small group, it's open to anyone in the church to come, a few people signed up. But it's been really precious just doing it in community and hearing people's experiences, hearing people's insights, hearing people's stories as well. And there's been times when the room's been quite vulnerable and open. And in many ways, that has been, shaping and transformative and forming of what it means to be community and for each of us walking in our faith together. So that's been a real encouragement to me, and this whole course has as well. Just encourage you just to, in these practices, just to be looking at who you can walk with and learn from. Part of growing is doing that together. So, anyone else? Oh, it's nearly 5:30. Any final one? Song. Okay. That sounds okay. sounds wonderful. That sounds a wonderful way to finish. Yeah, but just want to thank you. Thank you for. Just diving into this series and these spiritual formation practices, thank you for trying them. Thank you for giving them a go. And as we've said, this is not the end. It's not like now we move on and we do something different. We may be doing something different on Sundays. We may be looking at something, a different subject or a theme. But let's continue to practice these practices and other ones too. And let's continue to be open to one another and walking together and shaping us into being more like Jesus. That is the goal. Amen. Amen.